Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This following story was inspired by a Baton Rouge male who worked at a Dairy Queen. I just want to give you a disclaimer that what you're about to witness might make you queasy the next time you order at a fast food restaurant. I personally find this story rather disgusting than scary. Here's what it looked like.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I've been in and out of jail in the past, but hey, I never killed anybody, all right? I was arrested on account of theft and illegal substance imports and nothing more. Now that I was free again, I had found serenity at Dairy Queen, where my manager and colleagues were all nice to me. I felt that I could handle any situation no matter how stressful it was, with only one exception. No police officers. I'd survived my first 2 weeks on the job without any commotion, but one day it all went downhill when my worst nightmare entered through those heavenly doors. A stout man in a black long-sleeve uniform with a peaked cap and a shiny badge. I knew it was too good to be true, because no matter how much I wanted Dairy Queen to be free of these vermin, police officers couldn't resist the mouth-watering treats Dairy Queen had to offer. I attempted to ask my colleagues to handle the customer, telling them that I was sufficiently under the weather. However, it was one of those busy days where everybody had something to do, and to make matters worse, we were understaffed. So I had no choice but to handle the task delegated to me. Looking down at the counter, I felt really uncomfortable standing in front of the officer. I thought that perhaps there was a way for me to still get his order without making direct eye contact. But then, moments later, the cop called my name with a familiar tone that instantly sent chills down my spine. "Well, well, well, look who we have here. It's my old buddy, Mr. Johnson. So, how's life out of prison?" he asked aloud with a smug look on his face. I didn't appreciate what he was doing, letting my colleagues and other customers know about my past since it might scare them off or give Dairy Queen a bad image. With my mama's reminders running through my head, I took a deep breath, urging myself to remain calm. "It's been swell, officer," I replied monotonously. Then, in a split second, memories of a past that I kept neatly tucked in the archives of my brain rushed back to the surface. I had flashbacks of Officer Rao forcing me into a corner so that he could beat me up with his truncheon whenever he felt like it. One time, he and another officer took me to the restroom, where I nearly drowned after they dipped my head into a drum of water. But I had to put all those thoughts back where they belonged, in the past. After all, I didn't want to make a scene. Then, moments later, the irksome cop scanned my body from head to waist and said, "From what I recall, this type of job doesn't suit you at all." It was apparent that he was trying to provoke me, but all I said was, "May I take your order, sir?" He shook his head with a smirk and replied, "Sure, I'd like one burger, 50 Oreo Blizzard cakes, and 80 chocolate blizzards." "All right, that would be $2,355, sir," I replied, my body stiff from all the tension. "Well, maybe you can pay for me, Mr. Johnson," he said, placing his filthy hand on my shoulder. You know, for old time's sake, I wanted to justify my rights and the immorality of his ways, but he sensed that I wanted to retaliate. Officer Ralph tightened his grip, pulled me close to him, and whispered in my ear, saying, "Know your place, boy." I could always visit the manager's office and tell him all the terrible things you did that brought you to jail. I guess you never told him about it, right? Clenching my fist to control my anger, I replied, "If that's all, I'll take your orders to the kitchen staff and get them ready. That's more like it." Officer Ralph said, as he chortled delightfully. Going back to the kitchen, I handed over the orders of ice cream cakes to my colleagues. Then, while one of them was on break, I took his place at the hamburger-making station and began to cook. Recalling all the horrible things he did to me in prison, I knew of a way that could mitigate my growing apprehension. I knew that there were eyes on us in the kitchen with multiple cameras at every corner. So, I had to be tremendously cautious. While the patty was being grilled, I took the bun, positioning myself off camera, and spat on it, leaving behind a clear, greenish blob of saliva. It gave me such relief that I chuckled at the thought of him eating that burger. Then, I went back to the grilling station, took the patty, and placed it neatly inside the bun before wrapping it. When it was finally time to give this customer his food, he came to the counter, took one Oreo Blizzard cake, and started mashing it with his bare hand, eating the sponge and licking off the ice cream from his fingers like a pig, displaying a pompous attitude. "It feels so good having this much food for free, Mr. Johnson. I think I'm gonna drop by this place more often," he teased me, like the bully that he was. "You're gonna regret this," I said in a low tone. "Did you just threaten an officer, Mr. Johnson?" he said, his posture straight and his tone condescending. "It was nothing. Forget about it," I recoiled, looking down at my hands on the counter. Then, as he returned to his seat with his burger and cakes, I watched him from my peripheral vision as he took a small bite out of the burger. As soon as I turned my back, I heard him scream.
What the hell is that? What the hell did you put in my burger?"
He marched back to the counter, calling out my name, saying,
"Mr. Johnson, is this your saliva on my burger bun?"
I didn't utter a single word, but I looked at him menacingly, and he immediately caught on. So, he stepped back and spoke to someone on his radio, then asked me to come quietly to his car.
"All right, Mr. Johnson, you're under arrest for your poor conduct and despicable act, so please put your hands behind your back and step out of the counter," Officer Ralph demanded. "Hey, I know my rights, okay? Since you have no proof that my saliva is on your burger bun, I'm staying right here,"
I replied, confident that I could get away with it. However, two other officers came in and forced me into submission as I resisted as long as I could. When we arrived at the police station, they reviewed the surveillance footage and caught me spitting saliva on the bun. Just like that, I was behind bars once again for mingling harmful substances and resisting a cop. "Hey, I'm just glad I wasn't charged with attempted murder and that officer isn't dead. You see, I later admitted to the law enforcement that I had several diseases, which would have made that night his last time at Dairy Queen."
I lived in a small rural town for most of my life. It's the kind of area where everybody knows each other, despite there being miles between most neighbors. I also got a job at just about the only restaurant within a 30-mile radius of my house, the old-fashioned Dairy Queen at the intersection of the two country highways that went through town. The town was so small, in fact, if you needed anything else other than gas, mail, or fast food, you'd have to drive 45 minutes to the next sign of civilization. Since the town I lived in was so small, the business that the Dairy Queen received was minimal at best. It was usually only one person working on any given shift. The manager actually only had two other people on staff other than himself, me for the morning shift and another guy for the evening shift. On average, during those days, I probably served about three customers per shift. The owner of the franchise knew all of this without a doubt. I always remember him as this depressed old husk of a businessman, with his life's work crumbling away before his eyes. He never tried to hide the fact that he wanted to sell the business, but for the longest time he couldn't find anyone who wanted to buy it, for obvious reasons. But that all changed very suddenly one day. The boss man came into work, and for the first time ever, there was a smile on his face.
"I'm finally doing it, sport. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm selling this old hunk of junk and getting it off my hands."
"Really? How? Who's the buyer?"
"I don't really know, actually. I met him on Craigslist. He said he's a professional savior of failed businesses. Probably some kind of cartel money launderer." says he'll only do cash, no questions asked. Watch your back around him, alright?
Alright, man. I don't think anybody's gonna be able to save this place, though.
Well, you see, that's the beauty of the situation. That's not my problem anymore!
True. Good luck in your future endeavors, I guess.
You too, sport. I'm just gonna clear out my office and the new guy will be in tomorrow. He said he's bringing his business partner, whoever that is. I couldn't care less. The wife and kids and I are moving to Florida and getting the hell out of this country hellhole. You should do the same. I know I always said you were my last hope for this place, but you're too young to be tied down to a place like this. Don't do what I did, kid.
Those were the last words he ever said to me. They rang out in my head. I couldn't stop thinking about them for the rest of my shift, and even through the night. But I wanted to stay for a little longer, if nothing else than to see what this new guy would be like, and what his plans were for revitalizing the business. To say I was shocked when they arrived the following morning would be a gross understatement. For one thing, the businessman's partner was his son, and the relation was obvious, because they both gave me chills every time I made eye contact with them. I know I'm a country bumpkin or whatever, but these guys were a whole different kind of isolated from society. It was like they were some genetic cross between trailer trash and mountain man, and then inbred for three generations.
You'll be working up front with my son Blake. I'll take care of everything on the back end. You shouldn't have to do anything different.
That didn't make me feel any better about their business prospects. I couldn't imagine what one person could do to save a business without working their employees at least a little differently. But at least the new boss could speak. I couldn't say the same for his son, Blake. In all the hours I worked with him, he never said a word. He must have been legitimately mute. He was able to do everything the job required except for the part where you have to speak to people. But he was never reprimanded for this, and I didn't want to accost a disabled person, so I just worked around it. However, very much despite all these strange aspects of the new management, they were successful. Unreasonably successful. In a matter of weeks, the flow of business through the DQ went from its initial trickle to a slow and steady stream to an absolute madhouse every day. The weird thing about it was that nobody was ordering anything but blizzards. The number of blizzards I served in a day increased from 3 or 4 to 300 or 400, while the grill was never even turned on. Of course, I knew something had changed about the soft serve, and I had to know what. The first time I tried a blizzard from this new guy's recipe, I was blown away. Don't get me wrong, all blizzards are pretty good, but this stuff was like crack. It was sweet, savory, salty, and creamy in all the right proportions. Like some master chef stuff. After that, I wasn't surprised when I saw the business continue to grow, with lines forming around the building, even drawing in people from other nearby towns. People I'd never seen in my 18 years in the area. But when I dared to ask what had changed, I was met with intense secrecy.
What do you want to know, huh? So you can steal my secret formula, sell it to my competitors, use them against me in your little business attempt? Back off, Squirt. You're just a service associate. You don't need to know.
And if you ask me again, or if I catch you trying to find out, I'll turn you into strawberry soft serve, you hear me?
Okay, no problem, boss. I was confused after that. But instead of deterring me, his strange aggression only strengthened my curiosity. I started to think that he might have been adding some illicit addictive substance. My suspicions grew as another couple weeks went by, and it seemed like literally everybody in the Tri-County area was habitually visiting the DQ every day. They shuffled along in line like zombies, and when they got to the register and Blake was there, not even a word would be spoken. The transaction would go through automatically.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Everybody already knowing what they were going to get and how much they were going to pay for it. But when I saw that my own brother had fallen victim to whatever this was, I knew I had to do something. It was even hard for me to resist the urge to be eating blizzards all the time. One day, the boss had to leave for a couple hours to fetch some supplies from the supermarket 2 towns over. When he was gone, I told Blake I was taking my lunch break and slipped into the back of the store. The first place I went looking was the freezer, because the boss had told me to never go inside or I might get trapped. I'd been in there before he arrived, and I knew that was a BS excuse. Inside, there were no buns or patties or vegetables, just cream, ice, and flavoring.
as though he knew he wouldn't be selling anything but blizzards. But there was an extra chest freezer in there that I didn't recognize. I knew that was where the secret was hidden. But when I opened it up, I almost immediately yacked. It wasn't any illicit substance. That would have been preferable. Stuffed inside the chest were three human bodies, mangled and broken and dismembered. There were pieces missing from each of them, hands and feet, and there were holes in their heads where their brains had been leached out. My old boss never made it to Florida. Neither had his wife and neither had his kid. The new guy had double-crossed them all and taken his money back, then used the remains to cut the blizzards and make cannibals out of my entire hometown. I ran out the back door so Blake wouldn't see me. Then I got in my truck and raced home. I didn't feel safe there, though. I was so racked with fear that the new boss would find me and kill me and make me a strawberry blizzard like he promised. And I was worried for my family. I wrote a note and left it on the dining room table, telling them to never go near the DQ and to watch their backs until the owner and son were in jail. I then called the police and left an anonymous tip. And once that was done, I packed up my things and skipped town. I had nowhere to go, but I hoped one of my friends in college would let me crash in their dorm until justice was served. But even after that's all said and done, I don't think I can ever go back there.
I love sweets. So when I got a part-time job at Dairy Queen, I felt like I was one lucky girl. As one of the crew members, I was in charge of food production and sanitation. However, every now and then, I would also take on the role of cashier. I had no qualms about my colleagues. We all got along pretty well. While I was still learning the ropes, they were there to entertain my queries and lend a hand whenever I wasn't certain about what I was doing. There were usually eight of us, and we were a good team. However, just when I thought it was a piece of heaven on earth, every time I left for work, I would arrive at Dairy Queen, greeting a corpulent lady whose makeup was always too thick, like Ursula from the classic Disney film The Little Mermaid. The hairnet kept her curls in place, and her uniform was neatly pressed, emphasizing her strict discipline towards sanitation and order. This was our manager, and according to the employee, she was often called Madame. One day, the manager could no longer contain her anger that she demanded a skinny female crew member who was often sick and late to work to do 100 sit-ups in the kitchen area. Every time she attempted to take a break, the manager would scowl and kick her somewhere near the ribcage. I was so stunned that I forgot to look away when I should have. So, when the manager caught me looking at her, she glared at me with gritted teeth and said,
"What the hell are you looking at, huh?"
My body trembled as I went back to work. I was in front of the ice cream station when I was making the blizzards when I heard the kicking stopped. I was sweating profusely now as I saw this terrifying person approaching me from my peripheral vision. Then, not a moment too soon, she grabbed my hair, intending to push my head towards the blizzard mixer. So I instinctively fought against her sinister force with my hands gripping the mounted wall cabinets hanging above the commercial mixer.
It seems you have so much spare time in your hands that you can't help but mind other people's business.
She whispered menacingly into my ears.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to...
You see, Miss Davis, I have a reputation to uphold. What would happen to me if you screwed up all the ice cream, huh?
She said, as she pushed my head a bit further right onto the machine, my hand pressing against the dispense button and ice cream pouring out everywhere from the floor to the inside of my shoes. Concerned that the floor would be a safety hazard, I desperately said,
Madame, please stop!
Then, just when my colleague was about to tap her on the shoulder, she released her grip, allowing me to step back for a moment. Then, she yanked me by the collar and whispered,
If you tell your family about this, it's not only your job that's at stake here. I have other ways to mess up that pretty little face of yours.
Get back to work, you useless pile of trash!
She exclaimed, glowering at all the employees before returning to the office and slamming the door behind her. I was consoled by all my co-workers, and one of them, who was also a teenager like me, approached me and said,
After what I've seen, I think we better resign. There are better work environments out there anyway. I'd even go as far as to report her.
I agreed with her, of course. After all, the manager was nuts. So, I decided to work until the end of this week after acquiring the last of my hard-earned salary. All I had to do during this time was avoid getting on the manager's bad side. The following day, I was dipping some French fries in oil when the manager approached me. With a tyrannical look, she said,
"What do you think you're doing? You're supposed to be on break. Go on, leave your post!"
Still shaken from our last conversation, I politely declined her command, saying,
"Thanks for your concern, but I already had my break, and I need to complete my remaining tasks before my shift ends."
She continued to glare at me, which I thought was perplexing since I precluded the use of any offensive words or expressions. Then she said,
"Insubordination! Are you saying that I'm wrong?"
What? That was entirely irrelevant to what I said. I was infuriated, and I wanted to give her a piece of my mind. But upon recalling her threat, I recoiled and decided not to speak in case responding to her in any way gave her the wrong impression.
"I just asked you a question, you lowlife! Now you're giving me the silent treatment? You must think you're better than me, don't you?"
She accused me as she started chucking waffle cones and ice cream sandwiches at me. My natural response was to raise my arms and protect my head. Her rage made her so powerful that we slipped and fell to the floor amidst the altercation. I tried to crawl my way out of there, but she had a firm grip on my left foot. One of my colleagues, the teenager who told me to leave the job, intervened and smashed an entire ice cream cake into the manager's head. Once distracted, she managed to pull her away from me, giving me ample time to get to my feet and call my mother, asking her to come to Dairy Queen. However, the manager was still too strong. She immediately got up and strode to the office, where she locked herself in. Then, when my mother finally arrived, my friend and I told her everything that had happened. Enraged, my mother demanded to speak to the manager. Hence, with a clenched fist, she hollered,
"Come out! What did my daughter ever do to you to deserve this treatment? Face me, you coward!"
The manager exited the office and headed straight for the kitchen, ignoring my mother's query and complaint. Disgraced, my mother messed up the counter, scattering the straws and utensils on the floor. She pulled my friend and me away.
"You're not getting paid to be abused,"
she said fiercely. Then, moments later, the manager came back with a mixing bowl as though she were ready to explain herself. But to our surprise, she threw hot cooking oil at us, hitting my arm in the process and giving me mild burns. Our level of toleration had its limits. Hence, all three of us jumped over the counter and charged at her, beating her to a pulp. We scratched her, slapped her, and punched her incessantly, tearing up her clothes. When the police finally arrived, three of us were charged with simple battery, while the manager was arrested for aggravated battery and assault.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.